Tape two, side A, continuing with Mr. and Mrs. Azadorian. Go ahead with your story.
Now this is going to concern a woman who was not my mother, but became my mother. Art Bedia's sister, Karki, and I were good friends, and somehow or another, I convinced Karki to go to their home and get something to eat, while the front door and the back door was locked. So, Karki, let's check the basement windows. So sure enough, one of the basement windows was unlocked, so we crawled in, we emptied the icebox out, and we ate. Instead of cleaning up the mess, we left the mess and came back out through the window. And the mother came home, and she saw it, and... You want to put a stop to that?
Okay, we're rolling.
She doesn't say a word to her daughter, turns around, walks out the house, comes straight to my mother's home, comes down the basement, picks me up, and gives me a licking like you would not believe.
She knew it was you.
My mother took one look at her, didn't open her mouth, and would say, "What are you doing to my daughter?" It wasn't until after she got through that she turned to my mother and said, "Did your daughter tell you what she did?" My mother said, "No." She said, "What'd you do?" I said, "We didn't do anything, we just went over there and ate." She said, eat, but why didn't you clean it up? And why did you go through the window? And my mother said, "And that's all you spanked her for?" And that was backing Karki's mother, not me. But that's how we were raised. We had more than one mother or one father.
Right.
And nobody said a word. And I got a licking from her. Believe me, I got a licking from her.
And you survived.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
She also learned a lesson.
But I'll tell you, I enjoyed being raised in Lincoln Place.
And what about you, Mr. Azadorian? Any lickings put on you in Lincoln Place?
No.
You never had to be disciplined.
No. All I know is every time they'd come, my mother said, "Well, the Azadorian boys are coming again."
We used to be rowdy, but we weren't rowdy in Lincoln Place. We were rowdy in Lincoln Town.
Yeah, what was the atmosphere? Because there was a real perception that, you know, the Lincoln Place people were down here, and that's where they stayed. And there was a real tension there.
Well, before it was Lincoln Place, it was called Hungry Howl.
Right.
And they just figured everybody down there was poor and hungry all the time.
Right.
And I really don't know when it would get changed.
I have no idea.
From Hungry Howl to Lincoln Place.
I have no idea.
But they had a bad, it's like anything else. I remember when I lived in Lincoln Place, there was an animosity between us and West Granite. And I didn't know anybody in West Granite to dislike them. But you said they were from West Granite, we were from Lincoln Place.
We just had one street separating us.
Was that in high school you're talking about?
No, oh, elementary. No.
Elementary it started.
Oh, yes. It started in elementary. Oh, heavens, yes.
Well, no, I wasn't in elementary school.
No, but we were, honey.
We moved there in 36.
I know, but we were.
39, I was in high school. 39, 40, graduated high school.
All we had to do was cross on that 20th Street, and that's when it started. Monkeys ride on monkeys. You know, and...
No, say that again?
Yeah, but they called us hunkies.
Hunkies?
Uh-huh. And so we came back with, "That's all right, hunkies ride on monkeys." So we called them monkeys, you know. But we ended up, well, Butch Partell. What became what in Madison County?
County executive.
And he and I were bitter enemies at elementary school. But the one time I saw him when our daughter was singing the national anthem at the Bush Stadium, and he turned around and he saw me sitting there and he said, "Oh, for my God," he said, "Mary Cambarian." I said, "No, Azadorian. If you're going to be correct, learn it." I said, "You haven't changed one bit from West Granite." And he said, "That's your daughter?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How come she seems like that? You are like this." I said, "Keep it up, Butch." I mean, that continued. You know what I'm saying? And we eventually became good friends. But we were this when we were in elementary. Now we're grown adults with kids, you know. And then my daughter got, what, a speeding ticket? And she went, she had to go to get that taken care of. And she wanted to see him. And the girl says, he's busy. She says, well, I want to see Mr. Portell. And she said, he's busy. Well, he hears voices and he comes out. And he looks at her. He said, you're Melanie. And she said, yes. He said, how's your mom? And she said, fine. And he said, what are you doing here? He said, about the ticket. He said, oh, give me that and get out of here. You know, she knew that was going to happen because of me. She didn't want to take advantage of it, but she said, Mom, I was not speeding. That's what upset me. And if I can get away with it, I was going to get away with it. And she used Butch Bortel.
Yeah.
And I have no idea if he's still living, if he died or what became of him. But what I'm trying to get across is here we were,
yeah.
Here's this street. Elementary school was here. This was Lincoln Place. This was West Granite. We didn't mingle. No shape or form. Why? I'll never know.
I'm sure it wasn't much different. That experience with you guys wasn't unique to you. I mean, I'm sure there was pockets of immigrants and people who came here, and they were just looked on as
because we were
lower than low. Yeah.
Today, if a person speaks a foreign language, you look to them with a little more respect. Back in those days, if you spoke a foreign language, they looked at you like...
what are you doing here?
Well, you're like a lower level.
Yeah, or you're coming to take what they got.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, matter of fact, I was standing at Graham's bookstore one day, and some guy says, Mary Cambarian. And I just stood there and I thought, okay, Mary Cambarian, that would have to be before 47. Who in the world do I know before 47 that knows me as Mary Cambarian? I turned around and this guy was standing behind me with this real silly grin on his face. And I said, I know you. He said, you should. We went to Washington School together. I said, oh, you're from West Granite. And he said, yeah, and I'm so-and-so. It didn't ring a bell. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. He said, why should you? He said, we were bitter enemies. You know, it got to the point that we were even joking about it. So I still can't remember who the guy was.
Yeah.
And but he says, you haven't changed one bit. He said, not one bit. Well, later on, many years later, when I did see him with glasses and my hair was white and I had was like this, he said, you know, Mary, you still haven't changed. He says, your eyes and your voice will give you away all the time. I said, well, I still don't know who you are. But
he remembered you.
Yeah. Oh, I left an impression on everybody.
I'm starting to grasp that. That's funny. Well, what else, you guys? Is there anything else you want to tell me about? You want to tell me about Miss Prather?
Oh,
I didn't like Miss Prather.
She was a strict disciplinarian, was she not?
My cousin lived in Lincoln Place, Arbenian.
Right.
And we'd go for visits, and we'd always end up at clubhouse. So, since I didn't, since she didn't recognize being a Lincoln Place resident, it was always out of here, you know, you don't belong down here, this isn't for you. But I didn't really care for her. But later on, we find out that you couldn't get on the basketball court without shoes. And if you didn't have the money to buy them, she'd work you to death. And then she'd give you the money to buy your shoes.
Tennis shoes.
Yeah. Which gives you an all a different impression. You may not like her because of the way she treats you, but she had a good heart and everything else.
Right.
How about when she'd tell you time's up in the shower?
I don't know if you've been told that, but you're allowed to go into the shower, but she gives you 3 minutes.
Military shower.
And like open shower for the kids. But if you weren't out in 3 minutes, you'd come in a little switch and you'd get the
point
and everything else.
Be start naked and she'd walk right in on you. Out, out. Yeah.
She provided a lot of things for the kids up there.
She had a pattern shop going for the boys. She had sewing classes for the girls.
Well, they had Bible school there.
Oh, we had Bible
months.
School 2 weeks out of the summer months, yes. And every Sunday we had Sunday school, Methodist Sunday school. And in the gymnasium, which was an oddity, because she didn't allow any running of any kind in that gymnasium without tenors on or just stocking feet. And but we were there every Sunday for Sunday school. And she allowed, like Rose Bogosian played the piano, and she would let Rose play the piano, let the kids gather around the piano to sing. She was a spinster that when the community house was built, they hired her to oversee it. They paid her, what, 25 a week?
I don't think it was so.
And she paid room and board and lived with someone down the street from us. And she was at that club from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. She would take a little sandwich to eat during lunch, and then she would go home at 9 and have her supper. But she paid for everything. Everything.
She probably paid for a lot of things out of her own pocket.
Yes,
too.
She did. Yes, she did.
She just had a heart for those kids.
Mm-hmm. We were very lucky. She died she died when she was 65, but at the time we thought, oh.
She died in 39.
No, 36, 37. She died right after you moved down there. She never did see the basketball team. When she died, they held the service at the community house for her. And it was overflowing, I'll tell you. Our parents cried like babies because they knew what she had done for the kids. And then they brought in a couple of other women take over for her. And
did they have citizenship classes then too?
Oh yeah, well, with her? Yeah, that's where my father got his, 1928.
Citizenship classes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She taught them the English language. She was very good to everybody in Lincoln Place. There was no partiality.
If you were from Lincoln Place, if you weren't.
Oh yeah. she showed no partiality. She didn't have anyone favorite. Now, she did like Rose Bogosian because Rose Bogosian played the piano and kept the kids, younger kids, entertained, you know. And she would let Rose play it as long as she wanted, you know. I mean, there were things about her that the more you talk about her, the more it comes out. The biggest, of course, was keeping points for these kids that didn't have the money to buy tennis shoes, and they had to earn so many points. And then if they couldn't take their parents to buy, she would take them shopping downtown, uptown here, and buy them their tenors. And they were only allowed to wear it in the gym. They couldn't wear it outside. They had their names written on it that nobody else could use it, you know. I mean, different little things. And every August we had a
exhibition
of all the patterns shop that the boys did, the electrical work that they did, and us girls in our embroidery, our crochet, or whatever we had. We even made quilts, and they'd be on display, you know. And if anyone wanted to buy anything, they could buy it. The money went to her for the use of the kids. She was something else. She died, well, like I said, she was 65, 66 when she died, which was old back then, but she could have lived another 10, 15 years.
And she lived a lot older than 65, though.
No, she wasn't.
I say she looked
older
than 65.
Yeah. She would have enjoyed, if she had lived to see the high school basketball team.
She would have relished that.
Oh.
Well, those same little kids were playing in her gym.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the first five on the team were from Lincoln Place. First seven. No, Ebby Mueller was.
Yeah.
And who was the other one?
full fund, I've been a farmer.
Yeah, that tall, big guy. But the first five were from Lincoln Place.
Wow.
Two Armenians, one Bulgarian, one Hungarian, and one Czechoslovakian. There was your foreigners.
That was your state champion.
Uh-huh. Matter of fact, I understand they just honored Andy Phillip and the boys, the championship team. We missed it. Now, I haven't been to the hall to see what they've done. We have never been there down the street.
When they won the state championship in Chicago, no, the
Urban,
the
Champaign.
The principal of our high school, Mr. Greasby, sent a telegram to congratulate him. And in the meat of the telegram was something about if the foreign countries can get along like these five on the championship team, there'd be no wars and this and that. It was a really nice way he presented
right.
it.
And when they came in, they didn't stop at the high school. They had two or three busloads and they came straight to Lincoln Place. That's when the gates opened for Lincoln Place. Then we were allowed.
Anywhere you wanted to go.
Up until then, the kids could not come and visit with us. Because
well, it was a misconception on the part of their parents, right?
Of course, the parents didn't know what we were like. Now, my sister and I did have two sisters who were friends. And they wanted us to spend the night at their home. And I asked my father says, you got a bed, you can sleep in it, let them come sleep with you. So I asked Evelyn and her sister, I forgot the sister's name anyway, and she said, let me ask my mother. And she asked her mother, and her mother said, if it's all right with them, it's all right with me. The only family I knew that they liked my sister and I so much that they thought we had come from a good family, so the girls were able to spend the weekend with us. And of course, my father fell in love with both sisters, and my mother couldn't feed them enough. And then when the gates opened up, they used, we've been in Lincoln Place, you haven't, ha ha ha, you know. But
all of a sudden there's this mystique about Lincoln Place.
Oh yeah, now we were accepted, we were good people, clean people. But
just like today, after the terrorist attacks in New York, people of the Islamic faith who've been in this country 7-8 years and own businesses, they're even being looked upon like they're different. Yet these are people who are American citizens, they own businesses, they got all kinds of money, but now they're spit on and everything else. Not because they change overnight, but because they're Islamic.
Sadly, that's true.
But you know, there's good and bad in everybody, in every race. In every race.
I'll share something with you. You know how there's so much study now about the human genome, and they're trying to take apart our DNA to isolate every genetic code, or every factor in each code. What they found was that as human beings are separated into four general races according to how your eye is shaped and your skin color, that the similarities between human beings far outweigh the differences, and that we are 99.88% identical, and the only thing that separates us is point
color
0.02%, which is a little more melanin in your system or whatever, but we've been so brainwashed to look at each other differently. But in fact, we all are basically the same. Basically the same. And it just
99%
right
the same.
Right. And hearing it quantified like that statistically really kind of brought it home for me. It was how ridiculous and how divided that people are. I mean, for people to look at Lincoln Place residents and then because you won a state championship, all of a sudden you changed.
Yeah.
Is that something?
I work for the federal government, and the thing that teach you, you shouldn't show any partiality between black and white.
Right.
So we had black friends, we had white friends. And all of a sudden, somebody bring you pictures they took at home, you know. And here's a black guy, I remember his name's Highland of Ashland. Man, he had his paintings on his walls and everything else. I got, you look at that guy and you figure, how can he afford this on the salary that he makes, you know? Well, you don't start to realize his wife is a teacher and they're making twice the salary that you're bringing home, you know. But sure didn't look that like the home of a black individual. It looked like a bastion home.
Well, Mr. Azadorian, it's getting kind of late. Do you want to add anything to the transcript? I can't think of anything that we spoke about church and talked about Miss Prather. I guess I'll do. Go ahead.
We got young kids today that belong to Armenian organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that's called the, it used to be called the Sephard ones. And they become the AYF, Army Youth Federation. And at one time, the AYF and the ARF were so hell-bent to take the lands that were taken from us, given to Turkey, away from Turkey, even by force. Many of these people had relatives that lived in Armenia. But they've worked, they've got money and everything else, and even though they talked about the fatherland and everything else, many of them that have the financial capabilities to go visit that country have not gone. And it seems real funny to me that all during your youth you talk about free and independent Armenia, and once it's established, you forget about it, you haven't gone to visit. Not that you ever has to go, but this is the thing that seemed like it was a drive for them. It's one of the aims of the organization. Yet when it materialized, they didn't go to visit them. And surprisingly, because many of these people are capable of doing that. I just kept thinking to myself, you think one way, but when the time comes, you just don't pursue that.
Yeah, for whatever reason. Yeah. For whatever reason. Yeah, Father Vartan was talking about how, you know, they call part of Turkey Western Turkey, but he said, no, it's Eastern Armenia.
Yeah.
You know, and the physical, the geographical boundary sometimes isn't representative of the true nation.
So I don't know if you went into details or not, but they ruined a lot of Armenian churches, the Turkish government did.
Right, used them for mortar practice, target practice.
The humiliation that the girls took under the Turkish soldiers. Many of the Armenians lost their faith because they figured if things like that happened to us, the good Lord sure isn't looking at us with a favorable eye. Of course, you say that, and yet he gave his own son for us, you know.
So how do you explain that?
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
It's difficult.
How do you come to terms with that, with what happened to your ancestors?
I had a friend of mine was telling me that when you go into the garden, the one you pluck, the flower you pluck the most is the one that's the most beautiful. Yet somebody can turn around and say, well, in order for that flower to become beautiful, you pluck out all the ugly weeds and you nurture that flower. But see, you're not supposed to think that way. You're supposed to accept the fact that the good Lord wants to take somebody, he takes the most one that's the most beautiful. Otherwise, why should young kids die through an accident or something like this, and yet you got dope dealers and all kinds of guys that have immoral morals and everything else, but they still live?
I guess it's the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah. there's got to be a reason for it. It's difficult sometimes to understand it, but...
Yeah, I guess if we understood it, what would that make us? You know, it says in Scripture that the Lord's ways are higher than ours and His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, so if we could understand it all, there wouldn't be that separation. Well, thank you for your generosity and your time and your food and your water.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay.